I got served by Todd Byrne in a cafe the other day, and the coffee tasted just like the way he used to play. It took ages to come, and it tasted really bland. I hear Todd Carney's coming back to the NRL. Why? I don't think Jarryd Hayne deserves to hold on to the nickname the Hayne Plane. Perhaps he should just be called the Hayne Stain and be made to wear that blue Monica Lewinsky dress.
Ladies and gentlemen, live next to the lava lamp, coming to you next to the postage stamp, we are here again for the voluntary tackle.
The NRL podcast that was once described by Dom Burke as "show us your tits, bitch." Today on the show, we'll be discussing Australia's narrow win over England in the Rugby League World Cup final, Jarryd Hayne shafting the Titans for the Eels, and the relocation of the Roosters playing roster to Newcastle. But first, as always, I am joined by the president of the Mitchell Pearce fan club, Chip Jones.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. Amen.
How's your week been, Chip?
The week's been pretty good. There's a lot of rugby league, a lot of sport in general. We've had the Ashes, and we've had some different things going on. The women's soccer as well. The Gillaroos is completely boring. I don't know why anyone wants to watch that, but nonetheless, a lot of sport out there, and not least of all, the Rugby League World Cup final.
I tell you, it was a very gritty game, wasn't it? The final between Australia and England. It was almost like a recreation of Normandy.
Two words: Wayne Bennett.
What do you think Bennett brought to the Rugby League World Cup final? Did he have the magical influence over England to bring them up to standard?
I think so. Wayne Bennett's style of football is basically, let's have five hit-ups, no one drops the ball, and we're going to kick. And it just works.
Yeah, so he has a bit of a formula, doesn't he? I did notice Wayne Bennett with the English team, as he's done with the Brisbane Broncos, decided to rotate a number of players again. He had Gareth Widdop at fullback.
Well, I think the logic comes from owning the players' personalities. When you come into the coaching room, and he's a maestro, and he could come up to you and say, look, I know you've been thinking you're going to play front row, but we're actually going to start you on the wing, and what we'd like you to do is just take some hit-ups. So it's not too hard to really get into that mindset.
Chip, my problem is, you know, I don't think Wayne Bennett used to do this. I couldn't imagine him going up to Shane Webke and saying, "G'day, mate, could you play fullback?"
Well, I think he's probably gone through a couple of drills with some of those key players, maybe waking them up in the middle of the night. You've got to run for your life. They're coming to get you. And just timing them.
Yeah, right.
Forget everything.
So he genuinely puts the fear of God into them.
I like the way that he might hide fireworks in your training boots. Mm. And they're on a timer, and 3 a.m, they're just going to go off.
And do players occasionally get burnt?
Well, they get up quickly.
Is that where the expression hot-footed came from?
Hot-footed. I think it's hot-blooded.
Well, no, I think you're thinking of a foreigner.
I'm running on a tangent there, aren't I?
Yeah, I think you are.
Sorry. I just wanted to sing. I just wanted to find my spot.
So just in terms of Bennett putting the fear into his players, should he potentially simulate a terror event?
Look, a terror event would be good, but you have to line up a few players in that same basket. You wouldn't do it for one player. So you might, you know, get the players together for a kind of bonding session, 6 or 7 of your key players together, and then run your event.
Okay.
Then run your PSYOP. Right. So you really want to find out, what are these guys made of? Let's break them down. Let's see who's the first one to say, just kill everyone else and let me go. Mm. And then you weed that player out. You know that this guy can't be trusted under pressure. Mm. He's not going to be there for his mates.
I've got a bit of a beef with Wayne with this rotation policy, Chip. Now, I get the feeling that as much as he likes to sort of claim there's sort of big strategy behind it and he's a mastermind, I get the sense that he might be drawing positions out, like using those ping pong balls and those big air machines, a bit like Oz Lotto.
Well, if anyone's going to do that, it could be him.
He could be doing it.
I mean, he could well be doing it. I mean, he's getting on in age. Bingo's probably not, it's not the first time he's been involved.
No.
You know, so maybe try.
I hear he's a regular.
Bring that into the rugby league staple, you know, 88. Fucking two forwards.
Now, I thought England were enormous against Australia, even though they did go down 6-0. I thought Sam Burgess was enormous. James Graham was tough. Chris Heinington, largely absent. Who were your big performers in the game, Chip?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I thought the Burgess brothers held their end up quite well. They put on the England jersey, and there was a fire that went off in their eyes, and so they meat-headed best.
Which, surely you're not referring to Tom Burgess, just Sam.
Well, look, they
Tom is shit.
Well, Widdop was great. I thought he played really well.
He was excellent.
Big game player and really handled the pressure. I would have liked to have seen Gareth Widdop kick a field goal at about the 20-minute mark, because it sounds silly to be 6-1, but that means we're coming for you. And they only have to score once, and you've got that real edge on the game.
Well, it's a ballsy tactic, Chip, to go down 6-1 at full time if it ended up being the case. I mean, they may have lynched him.
Well, let's look at it this way. How many times did they attack the Australian line during the game within the 30-metre?
Quite a few times.
Right. So if you could get 4 field goals...
Just keep shooting.
Just keep going. If you get to the 5th tackle, shoot a field goal.
Yep. But, you know, just continuing on with the game, you mentioned Tom Burgess before, Chip. Now, Tom Burgess didn't have a happy game. He did drop about 13 passes. Did make me think he has probably the worst pair of hands in global rugby league. And I'm here to help here on the Voluntary Tackle. We try to be objective and helpful, obviously. And I'm wondering if Tom Burgess would benefit from potentially having a hand transplant. Do you know they say that a surgeon, if you have the hands of a surgeon, that you have these sort of really dexterous skills? Maybe a surgeon should transplant his own hands onto the arms of Tom Burgess.
Well, I like where you're going with this. One thing I'd really like to see him do is get up and play the ball faster. I'd like to see that fast play the ball, that momentum for your halfback really is everything. So maybe just get him catching and getting up.
Is he physically capable of getting up? I get the feeling when Tom Burgess gets tackled, he thinks that's the game, it's over.
Well, it may be that he thinks that when he's down on the ground, he's probably sleeping. Like he goes into that muscle memory of, oh, I'm lying down, I must be asleep.
Maybe he would benefit maybe from a defibrillator. You know, every time he gets tackled, someone just gives him a big zap.
Okay, I see. So,
he jumps immediately to his feet.
I've got a aftermarket cattle prod that I occasionally use for mailmen.
That'll do it. But John Hopewadi used to use one of those.
Well, see, it's hard to get one in a ring. If you could get a zapper and a ring and you can get some insertion, you can really encourage people to really get up. You can the legs will actually get up without any help from the brain.
You would speed up the play the ball. It would be a revelation for the game.
Yeah.
If you made that mainstream.
Well, I'm all for everything. Perhaps we could have them sewn into the shorts of forwards.
It'd be like a really serious Oztag. Let's just do a bit of a summary for Cameron Smith. Now, for the year 2017, he's now won a premiership, a Rugby League World Cup, an Origin Series, a Dally M, the Golden Boot. He should have won the Clive Churchill. My question is, Chip, should Cameron Smith just fuck off?
Well, I think he's already started his transition. You'll have seen this morning that he won a major golfing tournament. And I think, you know, to be able to get up after...
Was that him?
It's Cameron Smith.
Yeah, I saw his name on the scorecard.
Yeah, he's incredible. And for someone to go across code like that, get up after a really bruising 6-0 victory in the World Cup final and just say, you know what, I'm ready to play golf.
Yep. You know? Do you think he takes his sort of similar strategies to the game of golf? Do you think he sort of would argue the toss with his caddy a lot?
Mm.
Or have sort of decisions reversed? You'd probably have a few more mulligans than most people are allowed.
If the caddy has a scorecard, you can bet your bottom dollar Cameron's going to be offering you a beer. Would you like a back massage?
Mm. It'd be like, you know, chipping for the green, and all of a sudden the cup is about the size of a small garage.
You know, you're going to get eagles, sure. There's plenty of those. Albatrosses, great. But I want to see a hole in one on a par 5.
Well, they're gonna have to
from Cameron Smith.
They're going to have to invent new birds for Cameron Smith, aren't they? I mean, he's just going to wreck the scoring system of golf.
Are we talking about a phoenix? What's the?
I think that's too highbrow.
Are we going mythical?
I think it'd probably be a bin chicken.
A bin chicken? What about a wild turkey?
Possibly.
A wild turkey, you know.
Yeah, it's not fair, Chip. And just on that, I feel like next year, because Cameron Smith's so good, that we should consider implementing a handicap system. Now, hear me out. I think next year, Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear or something, just to bring him back to the field.
Yeah, just like, what was that movie, The Iron Mask with...
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, we put him in an iron mask. We say, Cameron, this is you got to do this. And at the same time, we want you to go to America, meet, date, marry Cameron Diaz.
I think we could go from an iron mask, and if he continues to perform really well, which I'm sure he will, maybe we could then move him into an iron lung.
Maybe there's some drugs that we could suggest, some kind of immobilizing tranquilizer from maybe from just say one arm.
Yep.
We'll just take an arm out to start with.
Yeah.
And then maybe just parts of the knee.
Maybe we could infect him with something, like some kind of disease or a virus that sort of inhibits his performance.
I mean, maybe we could come up with a new virus.
Look, you wouldn't start off too severe. You'd probably start off with some kind of mild virus at first, just one that prevented 40-20s.
Let's put it out there to our listeners. What drugs would you like to see Cameron Smith infected by? We're happy to do it. We'll pay for them. We'll find him.
We'll have to run it by ASADA.
Yeah, we'll get them administered.
Paul Gallen knows a guy.
One second. There we go.
Eamon, in the world of rugby league, we had a lot to think about this week. And as we do every episode, it's come time now for me to ask, what caught your ear?
Well, what caught all of my senses? Ironically, it was a person with no senses, Chip, evidently from his reffing ability. Of course, I am referring to Matt Checken. Now, Matt Checken was dropped, Chip, from adjudicating the World Cup final after his disastrous reffing of the Tonga-England match. Checken, however, has overturned the decision. He wasn't happy with his own sacking.
Look, if he's just a complete fucktard and he can't think seriously about anything, then yeah, let's sack him. But if he just has really bad eyesight and he just can't see, he's making it up. You know, let's make a difference here. Let's get him some eye surgery or something.
Well, my problem with that theory, though, Chip, is there was only one Fred Hollows. And with Fred Hollows being dead, I think Matt Checken might be up shit creek. But, you know, do you think that Matt Checken would benefit from using the video ref more regularly in his personal life? Like, do you reckon he uses it in
Would it really help with the wife, do you think? Because if you actually say to the wife, I told you to turn the fridge off because we needed to defrost it or whatever it happened to be. And she might say to you, well, no, you didn't. And you blow your whistle and draw a little square and you say, oh, we'll take it upstairs or we'll go to the video. And the video proves that, in fact, you did say you need to turn the fridge off because we're going to defrost it. That doesn't actually improve your living condition because, you know, you're still going to cop it.
Well, it could solve a lot of arguments, couldn't it? I mean, if you have the video evidence. I mean, for example, if, you know, his wife felt sexually unsatisfied and he reviewed the footage and said, no, I can clearly see here you had an orgasm.
At this moment here, you were lubricating.
Well, on that note of very unsavoury Matt Checken porn, more after this. Just a reminder that the Voluntary Tackle is brought to you by the Gold Coast Tourism Board. With the city now officially Hayne-free, there has never been a better time to visit the golden beaches of the Gold Coast. Now, news of Cooper Cronk's announcement that he is stepping away from international rep duties effective immediately has inspired another player to make a similar announcement, Chip. And of course, I am referring to Mitchell Pearce. Now, is this a premature move from Mitch, considering he's never made the national team, Chip?
Does that mean that he's stepping down from State of Origin?
Well, at this stage, he's just stepping away from the Kangaroos. I think the New South Wales selectors have already made that decision for him for New South Wales.
But, okay, so I'm confused.
That's more of a forced relocation. Well,
has he ever been selected for Australia?
No, he's never been. So it's an unusual announcement. I mean, it's kind of like an announcement that doesn't mean anything, that it's something you already knew. It's sort of like Rolf Harris saying, I will never become a kindergarten teacher. I mean, we could have taken that as read.
What's Rolf up to these days? Is he...
I think he's now only molesting his own penis.
Okay, so he's...
self-abusing.
Confined.
He is, yes. He's confined, restrained, and thankfully never go near a paintbrush. Now, in spite of the illogical nature of the announcement, Chip, Kangaroos coach Mau Meninga made a very nice gesture towards Mitchell Pearce today by awarding him an honorary jersey to sort of make him feel a part of the side, a bit like with fans of the Beatles, when the Beatles would say that they're like the fifth Beatle and they're not really. Now, the good thing about this is that Mau also made the jersey very, very clean because he's noticed that throughout Mitch's career, when he has played rep footy, his jersey's immaculate.
Well done, Mau.
Apparently, Mitch said the one thing he will miss the most about not playing for Australia are all the tries he could have never scored and the mates he could have made had he been there in the first place. I thought it was very touching.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder about all the things that I never did that I couldn't do.
You're listening to The Voluntary Tackle. Now, the man who the Gold Coast should have signed a prenup with, Jarryd Hayne, has officially signed with his old club, Chip, the Parramatta Eels. Now, given Hayne's proclivity for having coaches sacked within the first 8 minutes of meeting him, should Parramatta coach Brad Arthur take precautions and have a stunt double hired, maybe to take the fall?
Very good. Yeah. So to try and confuse Jarryd.
Yeah. Because I think he's going to need some kind of protection against Jarryd Hayne's, you know, commercial weight.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, you've got a raven and it says Tywin Lannister's outside and Tywin walks in and you just think, I'm fucked. Like, what am I going to do?
Yep. So you're saying Jared's effectively kind of the winter that's coming.
Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back in a way, although I kind of understand the sentiment. But for Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet.
Yeah, and it's already beaten everyone else.
Yeah.
It's on a roll.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's coming back.
Surely Jared Hayne isn't going to bring good things.
Well, I think he may bring good things for the football team in a points sense, because he'll score a lot of points, I think, or be involved in a lot of points. But
he hasn't done that recently, though, Chip. I mean, his heyday was sort of 2009.
Yeah, well, perhaps I'm being overly generous.
Parramatta are already a team that were on the up and doing well. He's just the thing that might upset the apple cart, I thought.
Well, he's certainly going to put a cat amongst the pigeons there. And I don't think any coach is particularly safe in that job. I think it could be the time that everybody turns against Jared Hayne. He could actually like ferment the entire world against him. I mean, he's done America.
Well, it's 95% there.
He's done, you know, he's gone overseas and he's you know, spread the word. But now he's coming back to the first, he's coming home. And, you know, there's two important days in a man's life, the day he leaves home and the day he comes back home. And I think Jared Hayne's coming back home, he's going to do some damage one way or the other.
He is. I think he's, you know, he's sort of reoccurring in Parramatta the same way, you know, an STD does. He's sort of like crabs.
You're never quite rid of it.
And you don't know when it's going to crop up again. And for Parramatta, sadly, it's 2018.
One thing we have to work out is, what does Jared want?
Money.
Okay,
he wants lots of money and bitches.
If it just comes down to money and bitches, then I think between us we can come up with some contacts for him.
Well, I don't think Brad Arthur would have those contacts.
No.
I don't think Brad Arthur has a reservoir of bitches that he can tap Hayne to sort of move his way through.
Yeah, he's going to need to get in touch with the voluntary tackle. Let's send him a shout out.
Would that make us some kind of sort of online pimp, though? I'm not particularly interested in going into the sex industry.
Well, if he had money and we had bitches, yes. But we have money and bitches, so we just like...
Well, speak for yourself, Chip. I've got nothing.
We bring the party.
I can certainly get the yellow pages, if that helps.
Well, if that's what Jared wants, then I think that's just what you have to go and get.
I think we just need to help Brad Arthur out. I like Brad Arthur. I want him to keep his job.
Okay.
So say he goes down the route of cooking some pistachio cookies for Jared Hayne. Would that be becoming a great baker? Would that be enough to stay on his good side? I mean, what if Hayne had a nut allergy?
Well,
would he have him fired over that?
One thing that you might want to do is go down to Fatima's in Surry Hills and pick up a kebab.
Mate, no plugs on this show, thank you. This isn't cash for comments.
Because there's a photo of Jared in the restaurant there for people to see. And I believe it's the only time that anyone's ever taken a photo of Jared smiling.
Yeah, very rare.
Very
like
rare.
Hen's teeth.
So maybe we just pick him up a kebab. We roll over and say, here you go, Jared. Start with that. And then if he does feel like talking to you, you know, just ask him, hey, what do you want?
Like, I think I've been into that restaurant, Chip. I think there's also another photo where he's coming into a falafel roll. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, with the Knights landing the signature of Mitchell Pearce, along with Aidan Guerra, Connor Watson, Sean Canny-Dowell, it's left many wondering if the Knights should simply go the whole hog and purchase the Roosters brand and just be done with it. Is this a feasible plan, Chip?
Very difficult to buy something from Nick Politis if he doesn't want to sell it.
That's true. Should
they
just buy Nick Politis?
Well, I think
to the source.
They're probably as close as they need to get in any overt way now, because you know there's a clear stream of players heading to Newcastle. We did mention some weeks back that the Newcastle Knights may become a Roosters B team.
Do you think the Knights should maybe try to, since they're purchasing all of the Roosters players, maybe they should try to purchase Cooper Cronk just to piss Mitchell Pearce off? Now, some breaking news. We like breaking news here at the Voluntary Tackle because it feels like we're doing something productive, Chip, because we certainly haven't done that so far, or well, not since the show's inception. But I've just been reading in the last 5 minutes that Quade Cooper has reportedly been axed from the Queensland Reds rugby union team and is interested in joining an NRL club. Which club would take Quade Cooper, you think? Who would be in the best position?
Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know that that would... I don't know about that. I've never really been impressed with Quade Cooper in rugby union.
No, he's one of those guys that can't tackle to save his life. So I was thinking Souths.
Yeah, maybe... He'd maybe
fit right in.
Maybe with Greg there. Greg coming back, they might be able to work something. no, I think Quade would struggle. I don't believe in crossing codes, largely. There's not many players that have done it. I've done it, of course, as you know. But that's not an easy transition to make at all.
So you're the authority on it, really. Which two codes did you cross? Let me get... From memory, it was synchronized swimming, and then you went off and did darts? Is that what it was?
Well, it was actually Eamon, darts, and then synchronized swimming.
Sorry, I got okay. The sequence all messed up.
You're getting everything backwards again.
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
This is just, you know, it's tough.
You
it's,
know,
it's tough.
Weirdly.
But I forgive you.
Weirdly, Phil the Power Taylor did it the other way around. He went from synchronized swimming into darts.
Yeah, well, he's a lightweight.
Now, Quade Cooper Chip was always one of these players that was pretty amazing with the ball, but he couldn't tackle. It was a real turnstile in defence. Do you think it sort of made me think that maybe in the NRL, should we go down the route like of the NFL? You know, they have specialist teams. So you have like the offensive team, defensive team. Maybe Quade could be on one of those. He could just be like a specialist offensive team.
Well, I think we're lowering the skill level there. I can't help but think that. if a proper rugby league player can do it all. Okay.
That's true. They should be multi-talented, shouldn't
you
they?
You should really be able to hold your end up in either side of the park, in either side of fence, defense, whatever you're doing. Carrying water bottles, cutting oranges, getting in the shower, whatever it is, you're there to do it for your teammates.
Raise some money for Red Nose Day.
Yeah, really, whatever it is. You know, go out and maybe your mate gets in a fight. And you take the rap for it or something.
Oh, yeah. Greg Bird's mates do that a lot. So if we were to go to the team's route here, I like the way I said that. If we would go to the chopper. If we went down the route, Chip, of having specialist teams, so you would obviously have Quade as an offensive team. You'd have guys like Gillette would be on the defensive team. Guys like maybe Jackson Hastings. He could be in a team that works out of a Bangladeshi sweatshop that makes the jerseys because he's not a great player. I think there could be something in this for the NRL. And that way we could accommodate Quade Cooper coming into the competition.
Well, maybe we could get him to do some kind of auxiliary duty. Maybe he could just start with the kicking tee.
Yep.
You bring the kicking... You can be the kicking tee...
He just brings it out like those little kids on the motor scooters.
Yeah, but he's like... He's the guy. And it's his job, and you make him feel comfortable. And it's something he knows. He's seen the kicking tee before.
He knows about football fields. And
you know,
kicking.
So he gets out there. He gets a bit familiar that at some point, maybe you say, "All right, we'll sub you on for the last play of the ball, okay?" And we might pass you the ball, we might not, but we're just going to see what you look like.
I like that. So you're working him in slowly, when you buy a new goldfish, you can't put them in the tank straight away. They have to be in their own little bag. You're sort of saying that Quade Cooper should go down that route, like maybe they put him in a big Zorb ball at first so he doesn't get hurt. Because he has been playing union, which hasn't got a lot of physical contact in it. I think in the NRL, he could be a bit fragile. He could break into 1,000 pieces like a giant Ming vase.
He might get found out. Let's say he's going for Luke Keary, and Luke Keary decides to do a short ball to Board Cordner, who's coming on an angle and runs into Quade. I don't see Quade.
I see Quade dying.
Well, maybe fracturing. I can go with.
Yeah, there's a chance his head would pop off. Thanks. That brings us to the end of the show. Have you had fun, Chip?
I always have a great time here. It's always a pleasure.
Have we been informative? Have we left our audience with any kind of nuggets of gold that they can take away?
You know, we're doing our best to infect the listener. And okay. We work hard. We may be a little bit overweight and undereducated, but we're sincere.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. You can check us out on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, or stay in touch with our sister publication, The Fault Report, at www.thefaultreport.com.au. But until next time,
Just do what Aaron Woods would do and hinge your entire professional success on a flood of facial hair. Good night.